Welcome to Jenkins Church. At this time, we'd like to pass out the attendance books and let everyone register their attendance. I don't know if they've been passed out or not, but if they haven't, we could do that. Also, we'd like to give an extra special greetings to anyone who's here as first-time visitor. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning?
We have one, and I want to introduce him, Tommy Clark. He's been here on Wednesday night a lot, but first time Sunday morning. Tommy is going to work with the youth tonight. Susan and Jamie are out of town. She's going to a Christian Ed conference this weekend. Tommy's going to be with the youth tonight. All the youth know him, right? You young folks? So Also, and what time is that, Tommy?
5 o'clock.
And Tommy is a ministerial candidate in Columbia Presbyterian, student at MTSU, and member of the Lewisburg Church. So we welcome him especially, and especially since he's going to be part of the staff today anyway, this afternoon. Thank you very much, Tommy. I think that's all the first-timers that I recognize. Okay.
Well, we welcome everyone. Our announcements are printed in your bulletin. We ask that you take the time to look at all the events that are scheduled. Particularly, I think coming this Saturday is the annual Christmas Bazaar. Does anyone have anything to say about that? Okay.
I will ask about youth Christmas play practice. Is that children or youth? That's youth. You, and Kelly's doing that at 4, right? Okay. 4. Right. Children's choir. At 4:30, yes.
Do we have any other announcements from the congregation at this time? Okay. Prayer requests. If you'd like to add someone to the prayer list, you can write it on an index card in the pew and drop it into the offering plate, or you can bring those up at this time. Sam?
I have a very dear, longtime friend, Roy Stevens, who is in the hospital and he's not well. I tried to put him a call this morning and didn't get an answer. But please remember him, his wife, Jimmy, and their daughter, Carla. They're not expecting him to make it through the day. Roy Stevens, he's in charge of the Widows and Orphans Fund for the whole state of Tennessee, is that right? So some of you may know him through the Bible.
Also a member of Tuscan.
I think they go to
Canterbury.
Anyone else? Mike?
I don't know how many veterans we have here this morning, but I know we have. I'm the one tonight.
Any other announcements or prayer requests? In preparation for worship at this time, we ask that you bow your heads for a moment of silent prayer. O Jesus, our great high priest, be present with us as you were present with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of bread. Amen. Call to worship this morning is from Psalms 34. It's responsive. Please join with me. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt the name of the Lord together.
Look on the Lord and be ready. Let not your faces be ashamed.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in the Lord.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 508. I will sing the wondrous story.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his holy glory for the cross of Calvary. Yet I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost and Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his love, he comes around me, drew me back to his way. Yet I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with and by the crystal sea. Days of darkness near the holy, glorious path I often tread. But the Savior still is with me, and his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll be the one who told me to die for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls his waters at my feet. Then he'll let me safely over where the once I shall meet. Yes, I sing the wondrous story of Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Bow your heads for prayer, please. Ed Stiskowski was here this morning, and Rowena's doing fine. She's just slowly gaining strength. Mr. Ralph Coonsey, Brian Coonsey's father, is in St. Thomas. Need to add his name to our concerns. Also, Gene Samples. Add Gene. He has, I think they call it flebitis. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the story of Jesus. But Lord, there's more than just a story. The fact. Jesus coming. Thank you, Lord, that he came. That he lived. That he died. That he rose again. That he ascended. That he sent his Spirit to abide with us. The helper, the comforter, the encourager. And Lord, we thank you that he's coming again. And we thank you, Lord, that someone told us the story of the Christ, the Savior. And you gave us the faith to believe. What a gift. The ability to put our trust in you. Lord, thanks for moving in our lives and that we could trust Jesus. No salvation, and anticipate a life in the heaven around your throne. Lord, as we have come together, we thank you for the songwriter who put it in such beautiful words. And the music writer that we could sing. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather in this place. Maybe because of those veterans, some who gave their life for us. But those who were able to return, we especially thank you. Lord, speak to us in this hour and allow us to bring glory to you as we sing and pray and give and express ourselves in various ways. Yes, let us know your presence, but Lord, enable us to glorify you. And in the name of Jesus we pray, praying as he taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we put in words that which we believe to the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Seated, and I have a special announcement, Lewis, to make. Scott's with us this morning, and Suzanne, and I want to talk about Scott. This church raised him in his earliest days. We used to go to church camp. This is the Tusculum Church. We used to go to church camp, and he and Shannon were about this big, and they were little boogers. But they had some great leaders, did they not? And some great training back home. Scott went to the Navy, got MS. Somewhere along the way, where did he come from? Nobody knows. But he has the best attitude. He has accepted, as Paul says, the thorn in his flesh. And he and Suzanne came by Friday, and it was an enlightening day, Scott. Thank you. I just wanted to point him out. He's living in Portland, Oregon now, but he's here for a visit, and I just wanted you to know his testimony as he shared it with me, mainly through the smile on his face. Bless you.
Our call to confession this morning is from Psalms 91:15. They will call on me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, Cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ your Son. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness comes from Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Turn down your hymnals, if you will, please. Hymn 387. Oh, to be like thee.
To be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all other treasures, Jesus, my perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as the Lord, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, let my own image sleep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, O of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, hearing the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, sacramental image, speak from my heart. Oh, to be like thee, I am pleading, for at thy spirit, make me a temple, meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, set my whole image deep on my heart.
This is a song that Teresa Justice actually introduced to us a couple of years ago, and I just wish she was standing here singing it instead of me, but it really has a lot of meaning, and I'm proud to be able to sing it. Thank you. was one they could understand. He was showing his love, and that's how he heard his end. Was showing his love, and that's how he heard his end.
It's children's time now with Miss Andrea. If the children would please come down front. And there will be children's church this morning.
Because she had a little boy who was being able to take the baby.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. Will the ushers please come forward? Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke 14:15-24, and Matthew 28:18-20. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Turn and get in your hymnals, if you will, please, to hymn 296. We'll sing the first and last stanzas, 296.
We've a story to tell to the nations, shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness to turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow have trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light.
Amen. Genesis 1:28. Can you quote it from memory? Is that one of the memory verses that you have learned and deal with each day? About 95% of us have done what it tells us to do in Genesis 1:28. Some of you may be turning there. Genesis 1:28 says, "Be fruitful and multiply." Be fruitful and multiply. Words of God to Adam and Eve. And when you have brought children into the world, you've been obedient to that passage, to that command, to that statement. But cannot that verse, that phrase, that sentence, can it not also, does it not also apply to the Christians bringing people to know Jesus? Those who have met Jesus, bringing people, other people, to know Jesus. That's the premise of the message today. And you're the people who know Jesus.
Do you not?
If you don't, this would be a challenge, maybe a message to help you to come to trust Jesus or to know Him as your Lord and Savior. As we think of multiplying members in the kingdom of God, and hopefully that would include Jenkins Church. And if we're not a part of the kingdom of God, God help us. We've been pretending to be for 25 years. And I'm trusting that we still are. 26 years, I guess, now. We've been doing the work of the people of God. But there's a lot left to do. So I hope this is a challenge to you. You accepted a challenge some weeks ago about it being friendly and inviting people. And I'm, at least every once in a while, something the preacher preaches is taken seriously. And I thank you for it. And I believe God has blessed us through that. As we think about, and I want to be throwing it at you so you'll have to at least think about it or dodge it one, and I don't think anybody's going to want to dodge it. As we think about the kingdom of God, building the kingdom of God, that's really what the church is about, bringing people into faith in Jesus Christ, helping people become believers, helping people get saved from their sin and become a part of the Christian community, the faith community. One thing we need to remember, we must remember, is that this is God's work as we work through Jesus, His Son. 15th chapter of John, Jesus is talking to those disciples of the first century, and we are products of those first century disciples, are we not? We are their spiritual children, if you will. He was telling them that we must stay attached to Jesus to be productive, to bear fruit. We must stay attached to Jesus to bear fruit. And he described it as he was the vine. We are the branches. And the 15th chapter of John is pretty blunt about what happens to unproductive branches. Throughout the New Testament, we're encouraged to be fruit bearers, spiritual fruit. There's numerous kinds of spiritual fruit. There are additions, in general, there's additions to the family of God, the membership in the family of God. And then there are characteristics that we exhibit in our life, also spiritual fruit. But we're reminded that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and if we expect to produce any fruit or even to stay alive ourselves, we must stay attached to Jesus. That's a given. We cannot do anything without Him, but we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. And that was what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. He said that he could do it, and we as like believers, we can do it. We can do all things that God calls us to do. He doesn't call us to do anything that He doesn't equip us to do. Emphatically, I say that. God's house filled. It was a banquet that was mentioned in Luke chapter 14, the scripture passage this morning. But that applies to His local church also. He wants everybody. He wants everybody in the kingdom, knowing that some will rebel and some will not come and some will have excuses. But He still wants everybody in His kingdom. the Apostle Peter wrote, He is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish or be separated from Him. But that all should come to repentance. So everybody you see today, He wants in His kingdom. Everybody you see today, God wants to go to heaven. That's His ultimate desire. But He gives people a choice of whether they say yes to Him or whether they say no to Him. And He wants everybody you see, I'm convinced, in some fellowship of believers, in some church. Noticeable earthly kingdom. Getting ready and getting others ready for transference into heaven. God gives the increase. The Apostle Paul was preaching or writing to the Corinthians. The Corinthians, they had trouble. They couldn't decide a number of things. They messed up a lot of things, but God still loved them. And Paul kept writing to them and saying, folks, you got it wrong, but let's get it straight. You know, that's forgiveness. That's why we need a prayer of confession. We need a time of confession. We need the experience of forgiveness. And they were arguing over who was the best preacher. Who was it? Was it Paul? Or was it Apollos? And some of them said, well, I'm a disciple of Paul. And others said, well, I'm a disciple of Apollos. And Paul wrote and said, you're all disciples of God. He said, I do one thing. Apollos does something else. And Paul described it. He says, I plant the seed, the spiritual seed, or the word. And we believe that Paul wasn't such a good-looking fella. We believe that he just talked on and on and on and on, and I may have got one or two out of them, like Paul. But Apollos, we understand, was an eloquent speaker. And you know how the eloquent speakers, you just love to sit back and you can just sit all day. Now, I haven't had that blessing. People look at their watch and they walk out or all like that. I just haven't had that blessing. But Apollos evidently had it. But you've been sitting under speakers just like that. They could take you up in their hands and play with you, if you will. Great speakers. And I think that was a comparison that we'd see between Apollos and Paul, or it's my conception of it. And people were saying, well, I'm a follower of this one, and I'm a follower of this one. Or he was our preacher when I became a Christian, so we like that. Or he came by for a revival, and we loved his. We got converted under his preaching, and we're his disciples. Paul says, no. I plant, Apollos waters, but it's God that gives the increase. So when we talk about building a church or building the family of God or adding to the family of God, we must know, number one, we stay attached to Jesus. Number two, it is God who gives the increase. And if God doesn't give the increase, there's really no increase. There's no lasting increase. So, having said that, that wasn't in your outline. That was the introduction up there, I guess. God gives the increase, but He has given us responsibilities. He has given us a part to do in the work. He has chosen that His people, His creation, and those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior be involved in the work of adding more people, rescuing others from the clutches of Satan, rescuing others. And the verse that I won't get to today, I've already made a decision, we won't get to that, Jude 1:23, but it says, snatch some away from the danger. We'll hopefully get to that next week. We have a part to play, if you will. Or we have a job to do. It's not playing. It's serious. In the building of God's kingdom. 1st words of Jesus to His disciples that He called, that are recorded. You know what they were? The first words to Jesus. I went to the church last, Carol and I went to a R&B concert that turned out to be a rock and roll concert, did it? Boy, our ears are still ringing, aren't they? We got on the second row up there. Deliver us from that again. We'll say it back next time, won't we? His son was the drummer. It's a great music, but a little too loud for Larry, and I think for Harold too, right? But since we knew Andy, we urged him on, and we clapped with him and raised our hands sometime like that. And anyhow, we were there, and I picked up a bulletin from Sunday. Well, they had a sermon outline and had a lot of blanks. And you had to be there to know what they said to fill in the blanks. So I left some blanks today, I guess, to follow suit. I thought, well, maybe that was a good idea. So I'm not beyond picking up ideas from other preachers. The first words of Jesus to his disciples were, what were they? Follow me. And what were they? I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You find that in Matthew 4:19, where he goes and calls some fishermen. That's why I used the word fishermen. They knew all about fishing. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Also in Mark 1:17, same thing. Luke, different slant on it. He was telling it, having heard it second time, or second hand, or we think that was the case. Luke 5:10, he says, from now on, if you come after me, from now on you will catch men. The same message. You won't be fishing fish, maybe on a vacation they would, but you'll be catching men. That will be your number one job. You'll be bringing people into the kingdom of God. What he was saying, come with me, and I'll send you out to catch people. So that's how he began his ministry. I need some people to go out and gather more people into my followers. Gather more people into my followers. I need some people to go out and reach out for me and bring them in. Bring them in. And he ended his ministry same way. He ended his ministry the same way. That is, the ministry while he was in the physical body. Jesus, let me state real quickly that Jesus' ministry is not over. He has chosen to work through us, using our hands, our feet, our mouth, our energy that he has given us. So his ministry is still going on, but through us. But while he was here in the body, the last word, it was the resurrected body even, the last words that we have recorded, we look mostly at the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. And he says, you need to go and preach the word. We've got it right before us. He said this with all authority, not just earthly authority, but heavenly authority. And he said, make disciples of all nations, baptize these disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then he said, I'll be with you. And he'll be with us in spiritual form. His Spirit will abide with us and help us to do that, or enable us to do just what he said he would do. Also in Luke 24:47, if you want to make a little note there, Luke 24:47, he says, you will be witnesses. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in the world of the things that I've taught you, etc. And there's two things that are witness. One, a witness is one who observes. I have witnessed that event. But also, a witness is one who speaks forth what he has observed or what he has experienced. So when we bear witness, when we witness something, we observe it or experience it. But when we bear witness, we tell about it. And I think they had witnessed Jesus, the disciples had, and then they were called to tell about it. And if we are believers, we have witnessed or experienced Jesus in our life. And those who have experienced Jesus are challenged, called upon, ordered, instructed, commanded to bear witness, to be a witness of that that has happened in our lives. So that's also Luke 24:47 in Acts 1:8. He says, you are to be a witness, or you will be witnesses of these things that they had experienced with Jesus. Likewise, we are called to be witnesses. In the book of Acts, we find that when Jesus told the disciples to do something, they went and did it. Now think about it. When we become Christians, what did we do? Did we do what Jesus tells us to do? Or did God even tell us? And maybe I've fallen down in challenging the church. I can take blame. That doesn't excuse you, though, because I've fallen down. Didn't excuse me either, if that be the case. But when Jesus told those first century disciples to do something, they went and did it. Now, John chapter 6, some of them turned away and wouldn't do it. They said, it's too hard. But some said, no, with you as the gift of life, or with you as life, and we're going to stick with you. Jesus died and rose, was buried and rose, ascended, and he said, wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And they were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, and the Spirit came upon them. And Peter got up to preach. Peter did what Jesus told him to do. So we find in Acts chapter 2, Peter, spokesman for the group, I don't think he'd let anybody else talk. He said, boys, I'll take care of this. Or he did most of the talking. He's the one that is recorded about, at least. He spoke. Acts chapter 3, verse 12 and following, Peter preaching again. Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter and John had been preaching. They were told to shut up, but we find that Peter was one of them, Peter and John. And then Acts chapter 5, 29 and following, again, we find the Apostle Peter doing the preaching. At least as a representation of the 12, or maybe the 120. See, the 12 were not the only ones that continued to follow Jesus. There's indication that there may have been 120 of them still following even after his ascension. I can't prove that number, but there were some people always on the side giving support to the 12. And then in chapter 7, so 2, 3, 4, 5, we find Peter, examples of Peter doing the preaching, telling about Jesus. And you read those passages that have Peter's preaching in it, and you can find he's always talking about Jesus. Then in chapter 7, Stephen, he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't an apostle. Stephen was a, should have put a blank there. What was he? A deacon. And needed somebody to take care of the distribution of the supplies. Everybody sold what they had. They pooled their resources. They were living out of a common storehouse. And people got to arguing early on. Church people, they've been arguing since earliest days. They got to arguing over who was getting the most. The Greek women said that the Hebrew women were getting too much, or blah, blah, blah. They were jealous of one another, so they appointed 7 deacons, and Stephen was one of them, but he was a good preacher. So in the 7th chapter of Acts, you find him preaching. They stoned him to death for it, but he still told them about Jesus. I mean, it may be a life-threatening thing, but he did it anyway. And then in chapter 8, those who were scattered, a great persecution came upon the church. Stephen was in one of them. Paul helped do the persecution, and he held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. They stoned him to death because of his preaching. But even if he died, he saw the heavens open and saw Jesus there, and he prayed for those who were stoned him that it not be held against them. And so he went on to heaven, got out of this earth. Wow! None of us are rushing for that, though, are we? But it's a great experience, according to the Bible. We can anticipate it to be true and be like it'll be. Those who were scattered because of the persecution. They all were scattered. The believers were scattered. The Christians were scattered because they were being persecuted. They went to the scattered out area. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. That's the Bible says that. Except the apostles. The rest of them were scattered, and they went preaching the Word of God, preaching about Jesus. And then we find the Apostle Paul in the 9th chapter, he just converted. That Damascus Road experience, that's where we get that phrase from. The 9th chapter of Acts, he was going to arrest more Christians, and the Lord slapped him, really, and knocked him to the ground. Oh, hey, he did it, but he knocked him to the ground. He saw a bright light. He couldn't see for 3 days, but got his signed back and he went to preaching. Then he took a little training time to get everything right between him and Jesus. He came back and preached and preached and preached and wrote and wrote and wrote. The 14 books that's written by him. Now, the church today, time gets away. The church today, has the church in the 21st century been faithful to her calling? If our calling is the same as the calling was of the church in the first century, have we been faithful to our calling? Maybe we have been functioning more in a... This morning I had an inspiration. Maybe we've been functioning more in a maintenance role. The church maintaining or holding on or trying not to lose too much ground. And maybe we have functioned more in a maintenance role. Some call it the storekeeper mode. You know, a storekeeper, especially in the old days, the general store, and sometimes today, they're there if you insist on buying something. If you go up and knock them down, it's there if you'll come on in and find it yourself, and we'll take your money for it, and maybe put it in the bag. You've been to a store like that, haven't you? That's pretty standard for stores, eh? You can't find the clerk now these days. They say it's so the prices will be cheaper. It's okay, and I don't mind looking around. I go to one store, and I say, you got any so-and-so? And they'll say, no, we don't have it. I'll look around and find it. I'll go find it. I'll say, look, I found it. This is what I was looking for. And I said, okay. But you've done that, haven't you? They'll take care of you if you insist. And maybe the church has been in that storekeeper mode. If people come in, we'll bait and let them in. Talking about church in general. How do we compare to that? Surely, are we any more than the storekeeper mode? Or the aquarium keeper? Got to keep it clean? My mother was in one nursing home and had this big aquarium as you walked in the door. I guess that was the only thing pretty about the place. No, it wasn't. It was a beautiful place. You walked in the door and there's an aquarium, and every once in a while I'd be sitting there and they'd come in and clean that, poke around inside, put some food in it. Maybe the church is in the aquarium keeper mode. Many times we are. We might call it the maintenance mode. But then something happens, and Jesus gets tired of his church being in that mode and acting like that, and he says, something's got to happen. I've got more important things for the church to do than just to maintain their status quo. So somehow he comes and he prods us. He calls us to shift gears. You know, we're running along in low gear and grinding and groaning, and he says, folks, you need to get in a better mode than this. And maybe he says, is an attack mode, is that an unchristian mode? When you're doing battle with Satan, attack mode is okay. Is it? If you don't believe it, read this. It's the 6th chapter of Ephesians. It's a war out there. We need to attack. Forward march. How does he do this? How does he do this? Various ways. How does Jesus speak to us today to prod us on, to move us on? Well, maybe he calls us to look around and see people in need of Christ. Sheep without a shepherd. And you don't have to look very far to look around and see people as sheep without a shepherd. Or maybe he comes to someone and causes them to make a comment in someone else's presence. And that comment sparks an idea. Because God is working in both individuals. One who makes the comment, one who hears the comment. Or maybe they cause someone to ask the question. I still remember Joe Tony back at the Madison Church. He would say, how many people you got on your prospect list? And I'd say, huh? But I'd go out and get me a prospect list after that. See, I'd have to start counting them up. I just assumed that all these people that I've been ministering to, you know, kind of ministering to them, maintaining them. He said, who's on your prospect list? Maybe they have seen a need or a passing comment that grabs your attention. God can use whatever means he chooses to get our attention or to call us to greater service. Or maybe God speaks through his word. You're reading the word and there he is. He speaks to us and it jumps out at it. And he plants in our mind or maybe we're just, it's a still small voice that we often mention, that still small voice that God kind of hits us with or calls to. You look around, there's nobody there, but you heard a voice. And all that you could explain it to be was the voice of God speaking to me. You've heard that still small voice, haven't you? However He speaks to us, the result is that we see that there are many people who are not in the family of God. And God moves us to do what we can to bring them in. Luke chapter 14. Bring them in. That my church, my house, my banquet might be full. It's the greatest blessing that any of us have ever received when we found membership or found a welcome in the family of God. It's the greatest blessing, whether we realize that or not, that's the greatest blessing we've ever received. If you compare heaven to hell, there's no question what a blessing it is. But God calls us to be a blessing to those who are not in His family. And I want us to stand together and sing about being a blessing. And maybe something has been said somewhere along the way, or maybe it's that still small voice that God is speaking to you through, or maybe a loud clapping voice or clamoring voice, that you would hear Him calling you unto Himself to trust in Jesus, His Son, our Savior, as your personal Savior. Or maybe He is calling you to be a blessing and sending you to be a blessing to someone else. And your response to God this morning may be one that you want to make public. You want to come here to the altar. And I believe God allows us to make responses to Him public and possibly more important. I'm not saying I said possibly more important, are those private commitments, responses that we make to God. But the song is 4:5:2, I believe, and let's stand together and sing about us being a blessing to someone today. Then go from this place looking for those that we can be a blessing to. 1 and 2, Sam. 1 and 2.
Thank you. Thank you.